Man, so much going on this week. Welcome in to a Thursday edition of the show, Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. We have a lot to get to today. You know, typically when it's any sort of playoff game or series related to Indiana in general, or postseason play for that matter, it is typically all about that particular sport, that particular team. Now, obviously, with the NFL draft happening, that kind of takes a little bit of a back seat, does the Indiana Pacers situation today. However, we will get into a little bit of Pacers-Bucks game number 3 later in the show, because tomorrow, we're booked solid tomorrow, but we are fired up to be back at the 1925 Clubhouse at the Courtyard tomorrow, which begins our Friday summer series, as most of those will be on the patio. Again, weather pending. Hopefully tomorrow the weather cooperates for us to be on the patio. And we're glad to be joined by the Director of Athletics at Ball State University, Jeff Mitchell. He'll be with us tomorrow as we'll talk all about the different things related to collegiate sports and specifically what's going on with Ball State Athletics as well. So not a lot of Pacers-Bucks talk tomorrow, so we'll try to slip in a little bit of that conversation coming up in the show later today. But it is draft, draft, and more draft. You know, I always approach the NFL draft, and specifically for the Indianapolis Colts, and look at it and say, isn't it kind of strange how much emphasis we put on the NFL draft? And really, the fact of the matter is, you're not going to see any of these players drafted play until September. If you count the preseason play and the offseason workouts, I guess you've got July, but that's a good 3.5 months away. So they get drafted, you get all excited, and then you have to wait. Now, last year, the wait was excruciatingly long because you drafted a quarterback. And normally, it becomes all about that quarterback leading up to the draft. It becomes all about the quarterback you selected until you get to training camp, and then you still have a month and a half until you see him in regular season play, which the Colts saw very minimal amounts of Anthony Richardson last year. This draft, isn't it amazing? And I've described this several times over the last couple of weeks, that the emphasis and the coverage on this draft is so different than it was a year ago. I guess that shows you how much star power is put on the shoulders of a quarterback. So teams like the Bears, teams like the Patriots, teams like the Commanders, all of which last year, Bears didn't draft a quarterback, Commanders didn't, Patriots didn't, Giants are looking to move on after 4 years of Daniel Jones. Like, it's amazing how many teams actually are in the quarterback market when they get there, but those markets with quarterback questions aplenty are just like what Indiana was like last year. All of sports talk was debating all of these quarterback prospects. And this year, you don't have to do that if you're the Indianapolis Colts. And the hope is that you have your franchise guy for years to come, so you don't have to be one of those teams asking the predominant quarterback question. This is an amazing draft for a team like the Indianapolis Colts that draft in the top 15 picks, and a draft where there are so many quarterback needy teams. It's not the teams that are at 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. It goes further than that. So at 1 is the Bears, at 2 is the Commanders, and at 3, you know, is the Patriots. 4 is kind of where the draft starts. The New York Giants would like to get up there. The Minnesota Vikings would like to get up there. According to many reports, the Los Angeles Rams would like to get up into the top 10, maybe for a wide receiver, but maybe for the second coming of Matthew Stafford. So we've already talked about 7 teams that could get up high in the draft. And, you know, if I'm the Indianapolis Colts and Chris Ballard sitting in that draft room, I am hoping that picks 4 and 5 end up being traded, because the Cardinals aren't going to draft a quarterback. The Chargers likely are not going to draft a quarterback. shoot, for me, I'd be sitting there, and if I'm the Colts, hey, let's have quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Because it just pushes down the opportunities for you to get one of the very best players in this draft later on, which these are the names you want to kind of memorize tonight. Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver from Ohio State. Okay? Very unlikely the Colts can get up as high as 4 to go get him. And it feels like that's where he's going to head at number 4. Malik Nabers, the wide receiver from LSU. Again, very unlikely you get a crack at him. He's expected to go in the top 6-7 picks as well. Rome Odunze is an interesting one from Washington. The likelihood is he goes in the top 10. However, there has been a little smoke about the Indianapolis Colts being interested in trading up into the top 10. So that one may not be as far-fetched as the first two guys we just mentioned. Brock Bowers, the tight end, is the interesting one. Tight end from Georgia. He has always kind of been linked to the Colts for a couple of different reasons. One, the easy comp is Dallas Clark for him. I mean, it feels like there has been sports writer after sports writer after sports writer say he's either George Kittle or he's Dallas Clark, which is kind of the same thing. The comp is very similar to what Dallas Clark meant to this franchise in the early 2000s. It feels like that would be a really strong selection for the Indianapolis Colts for a variety of different reasons. But you go to this as well. Shane Steichen, when he was in San Diego, with Los Angeles, prior to going to Philadelphia, he had Antonio Gates. Then when he went to Philadelphia, he had Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, two tight ends that were very well known for run after the catch, some of the leading tight ends in the league in that category. Brock Bowers, that's what he excels in. So, you know, Shane Steichen has had a lot of success with run-after-the-catch tight ends. Colts have a nice group of tight ends, but they don't have that one alpha. And you got to look at some of the teams that have been deep in the playoffs here in recent years. Travis Kelce's pretty good for the Kansas City Chiefs. George Kittle for the San Francisco 49ers. Sam LaPorta from the Detroit Lions. You're talking about three of the four finalists in the NFC and the AFC having guys that can run after the catch. You know, Baltimore's got Mark Andrews. You know, some of the better teams in the NFL have that matchup problem at tight end that honestly helps your wide receivers as well. Like, you may not be drafting a tight end and an elite tight end like Brock Bowers specifically for just what he's doing, but what it opens up from a coverage standpoint, single coverage on the outside. You know, he's too big for a corner, and he's too fast for a linebacker. And, man, to have that matchup problem would be really interesting to see. Now, the other guys of note that you might take a look at and kind of memorize, cornerback from Toledo in the Mid-American Conference, Quinyon Mitchell, who has just absolutely shot up draft boards. You know, when the season ended, you know, and I remember when the Ball State Cardinals played Toledo, and there was a lot of talk about Quinyon Mitchell and how he was going to be a very good NFL player at the next level, but it was more so early second round, maybe late first. This is a guy who held his own and was the best cornerback at the Senior Bowl, which, again, has a lot of Power 5 players. That is a way that you can shoot up draft boards. The combine, he has excelled at everything since the season ended. And probably the number one corner. He's battling with Terrion Arnold, who is also a cornerback. He's from Alabama, your typical Alabama cornerback, tough, man-to-man, in-your-face type of cornerback. But there's a lot of people that love Quinyon Mitchell as well. So the cornerbacks are also possibilities at number 15 as well. If you go deeper down the wide receiver side of things, Xavier Worthy from Texas. But at the end of the day, 15 seems to be a bit too high for him. So these are all possibilities for the Colts, and maybe an off-the-wall selection, an offensive lineman would cause the city to riot. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't know what Chris Ballard has in store, but anyway. So there are many scenarios at number 15. Okay, so that's the group that seems to be the target list or feels like the range in which the Colts are at 15. Those are the guys you keep an eye on for the most part. Now, the trade-up scenario is interesting. And we recorded a conversation with George Brimmer from the Herald Bulletin a moment ago, and we address a lot of these topics of conversation. But the trade-up scenario doesn't seem so far-fetched, but the far-fetched nature would likely be getting all the way up to 4. You know, Jim Irsay, again, he can't help himself, as always, in the media, always talks about his passion first before logic. He's a fan. He's an owner that's a fan. Okay, of course, he's going to draw the connection between Marvin Harrison Jr. and the Indianapolis Colts for obvious reasons. Marvin Harrison played for the Colts. You get the point. That is going to be a steep price. I mean, a very steep price. You're talking about probably leveraging the top of your draft for the next 3 years. So your first-round pick this year, next year, and a lot of assets for years future as well. So do you want to do that for one wide receiver? I get he can make a difference. I get he can be a big play guy. I get he's a surefire, top-level wide receiver prospect. Again, just think logically about what this team needs, not just now, but in the future as well. Now, the trade up to number 9 or 8, that's a different story. Because, and I'm going to let George Brimmer explain this a little bit later on. He, again, that recorded conversation he talked about, I won't steal any of his thunder, because at the end of the day, you have to think when you're trading with a team that's in the top 4 picks, okay, and the Colts are coming from 15, it's often not just the amount of picks that you give them, but also the perception, thinking of Arizona going from 4 to 15, regardless of the haul that they get from the Indianapolis Colts. You know, you may say, well, 3 first-round picks will get it done. Well, that might be the case for a team that's in the top 10 trying to get up to 4. The Colts are all the way back at 15. Arizona wasn't very good last year. They need premium players. And so if they don't get Marvin Harrison Jr. and trade out of that pick, I mean, a drop down to 15 is pretty steep. You know, those top 5 picks are very, very valuable. So, again, these are the chess pieces and games you got to think of. Now, getting up to 9 or 8, presumably for Brock Bowers, seems to be a very, very popular smoke around the league. Seriously, I mean, there's a lot of smoke there. Again, you don't know what's real. You don't know what's, fact or fiction at this point. I see a fit for a lot of different scenarios tonight, but also think of it this way. What you do with your first-round pick isn't always what's available. It's also what you think of the positional value of that group. So, cornerback seems to be top-heavy with the two guys at the top, Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold. That's why that connection has been made so often, because those two guys seem to be better than the rest of the group by a very wide margin. There are second and third round wide receivers that seem to be very good players that maybe in past drafts could have been late first round picks, early second round picks. I would expect the Colts to come out with a wide receiver. I know everyone would love for them to get a wide receiver in the first round, but those are the games you have to play and have to figure out is, okay, if I take a wide receiver in the first round, but I still need a cornerback, am I okay with the group that's left in the second round? So you have to leverage those things a little bit, and again, I think that'll be a part of tonight. Okay, big picture for the Indianapolis Colts, it comes down to this. You know, it's been an interesting offseason. You know my thoughts. I think it's been, I wouldn't label it as disappointing, but underwhelming, because there have been ways that you can upgrade from a veteran standpoint, and again, you get the point. They haven't done that, okay? Moving on from that, here's the deal. You are at a point with your roster that you are void of elite talent. You have very good players across the board. You know, you can name them. Okay, Jonathan Taylor's a quality player. I think he's one of your elite guys. Michael Pittman Jr. is a good player. Offensive line, you have three or four quality players. DeForest Buckner is a quality player. Zaire Franklin is a quality player. Julian Blackman is a quality player. Kenny Moore, etc. You don't have elite. And when you think about the teams that win at the highest, highest level, guess what usually decides the game? The elite, elite players on those particular teams. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes decides a lot. Travis Kelce decides a lot. Chris Jones decides a lot. Legarius Sneed decided a lot for that football team. San Francisco, Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, Nick Bosa, etc. Fred Warner, those are the guys that are making plays for you. You can have a very well-rounded roster, and the Colts have a very good roster. But in order to get up to the next level, and this is what Houston has decided to do, and you have decided to go a different way. You'd rather have depth quality than high-level talent, but the fact of the matter is high-level talent pushes you just over the edge. And so tonight, with all the emphasis that you have on this NFL draft, that's the focus. You have to become more elite at a lot of positions. You know, it'd be great to get an elite wide receiver. It'd be great to get an elite tight end. It'd be great to get an elite defensive player that really, at this point, you lack. DeForest Buckner, I think he would be in the very good category, not in the elite category. I think at his position, he wouldn't necessarily even be in the top five. Again, the elite nature of the positions that you have, you don't have elite. You have very good, and that is not to diminish the roster or the thought process you've gone down the road with. But it is fact. Okay. I fully understand that in one draft, you can't get elite at every single position. And heck, you may not even get a couple of elite guys. But if you come out with one elite guy, man, would that be great. If it's at wide receiver, if it's at cornerback, whatever the case may be, and if it's not even just with your first-round pick because your picks in the second and third and et cetera rounds are huge, big time, and you have to make those count. That's huge for the Colts. And you know what? Chris Ballard's put the pressure on himself and his scouting staff with the way that they've navigated this offseason, that they have put so much emphasis on this NFL draft from that perspective that they are saying we feel quality about the fact of where we sit in this draft that we can go get elite talent. Because I think this team has enough good players. They don't have enough elite players. And you have to make that change. Or else you're just going to be very good for a long time, and very good doesn't get you very far. I mean, the Bills have been very good for a while. They have not advanced, you know, further than the second round a lot of times. You know, Miami's been very good, and they've got elite talent, and they just can't get over the top because their elite talent is stacked at the position groups where they have a lot of the same thing. You know, the Colts have to have elite players, and that is what they lack at this point. And tonight is a huge step forward, and the first round pick is always put more emphasis on. But man, Friday's huge. Saturday is huge, and this is a big moment for the Colts because, as I've mentioned before, the schedule's going to get tougher next year. Your division has gotten better, okay? You took a major step forward last year. Things are not going to be as easy this year, and more is going to be put on Anthony Richardson's shoulders, and you have to give him support, and you also have to be more elite defensively. And from a continuity standpoint, I think the Colts are feeling like the group they have is going to take that step forward. But I'm going to go back to the same old thing. They need elite players. They're good in a lot of spots. They need elite players. And tonight is huge in order to get that opportunity to get those elite players. And looks like this is a deep draft. Kind of feels that way. So Anyway, thanks to those of you joining us on Facebook Live. I appreciate that as always. I tell you what, I think the draft is a fun night. I do think maybe the coverage is a little bit overblown pre-draft, but at the end of the day, I really, really feel as though there's a real opportunity here for the Colts to get an elite player, and there seems to be a lot of elite players in this draft. I just got to pick the right position, group, whatever, and we'll see how it all plays out. So, all right, when we come back, we'll play a conversation that we recorded with George Brimmer from the Herald Bulletin with us coming up here in a matter of moments. It is a Thursday edition of the program, Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUA. All right, welcome back into the show, Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN on this Thursday. Recorded conversation with George Brimmer from the Herald Bulletin coming up. But as always, we're presented by Walls Furniture and Mattress, Nebo Road in Muncie, online at wallsfurniture.com. 90% of what's on the showroom floor in stock for you, 48 hours or less. Here's the other thing. Many different brands at the store, you can walk in, they don't have it there. You know, they're going to help you search for what you want on the many brands that they have for you. That's the Walls Furniture and Mattress difference. Nebo Road in Muncie, online, wallsfurniture.com. It is round one of the NFL draft tonight. 8 o'clock is the start of it. Colts will pick. George, the estimate, what time they'll pick. I'm saying 10:30. Is that pretty close?
Hopefully it'll be sooner than that. It's so hard to tell, though, from year to year. I'm hoping it's going to be somewhere in that like 9:15, 9:30 range.
Oh,
so much depends on, you know, where, how things go. The more trades, if they get, you know, the 10 trades people are talking about, and some of these silly things happen, it's going to be a much longer first round. But you're usually looking at about 3 hours for the first round, so the whole thing should end.
Okay.
In the neighborhood of 11, you know, the Colts are somewhere in the middle of that, so. You're hoping 9:30-ish, but, you know, it's the draft. Who knows? I swear every year it feels different than the year before.
Well, I look at it this way because, I mean, these are the things I think about because I have no life. I'm trying to think, do they start the clock for the next team once the player comes up and gets the jersey and all that stuff, or does that player have to come up, get the jersey, get off the stage, and then they start the clock for the next team? I mean, these are the details that really matter tonight, George.
It officially starts as soon as the pick is in for the previous team. But a lot of stuff's done on the TV. Like, the draft itself sometimes over a little bit before the TV broadcast is. And, you know, there's so much goes into it. The big thing is, like, what, 8, I think, is when it comes on. But we know there's going to be a little pomp and circumstance before that. It's going to be closer to 8:30 probably before that first pick is made. And, yeah, so the Colts figure in all lucky. It'll happen before 10. But, you know, that's one of the things when you're in that 15 range, really hard to try to pinpoint exactly when this is going to take place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you'll be at the Colts facility tonight, the Colts facility tomorrow, the Colts facility on Saturday. Okay. The rumor you have heard over the last 48 hours the most is what?
That the Colts are trading up. For whom, you know, it's hard to say, but that's the buzz. And I think the last week of the draft is the worst time of all for lying season. I mean, it's lying season as soon as the regular season ends, as soon as the Super Bowl is done. But once we get into that 7 to 10 days away from the draft, you really start hearing some crazy things. The problem is, through all of that, there's usually one or two things that are true. You know, there may be 1,000 rumors out there right now. One or two of them are hidden in there that are actually going to happen. The buzz has been the Colts are going to trade up. I'm always leery. I mean, anything's possible. I think that the way this draft is set up, they absolutely could make a move into the top 10 if it works for them. They could move back because they said they have 19 to 21 first-round grades. So there'll be somebody there if they move back. They can sit where they're at if they feel comfortable that, you know, one of these guys is going to be there. So I'm leery of the Colts rumors because I know the GM's talking to no one. Everybody is getting this from agents. They're getting it from other teams. They're getting it from speculation. It makes me leery. I mean, Just look back to a year ago. The Colts were taking Will Levis. It was signed, sealed, delivered, according to everybody outside the building. And then the actual draft rolls around, and you know that's obviously not the way things took place.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by a lot of different scenarios, so I'm going to throw out a couple here. The first one that stood out to me is this, because the Colts have been, I think wide receiver and cornerback are the two areas that they've been most rumored for. And you know, Brock Bowers has been a connection that's been made, especially today. That's been a hot topic of how it would fit with Shane Steichen based on his past connections with Philadelphia, etc. Here's the scenario, and I know it's very hypothetical here. There's Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver, is available. Brock Bowers is available. Quinyon Mitchell is available as well. Which way would you think the Colts would lean if all of those scenarios happen to coincide with that 15th overall pick?
I think Bowers is the guy that would be, you know, at the top of the list at 15. If he's there, I think he trumps everybody else because of the utility that he has in Shane Steichen's offense. And you look back at what Steichen did, going all the way back to his Chargers days, tight end has been such a huge part of what he's done offensively. And last year, they didn't do a lot of that, which tells me it probably had more to do with him not feeling like they had the personnel to do what he specifically wants to do. I look at Bowers and I see like Kylan Granson, you know, supercharged. You know, he was probably the most productive tight end in the passing game last year. Not that any of them had a huge role, but I think Granson probably got the most of that. And I think Bowers can do everything Granson did to the nth degree. So I think that's the best fit. I think that's the one that the Colts would like best. And if they trade up today, that's what I would expect the move would be for. Getting to 8 or 9, if they could do that, getting ahead of the Jets to get Brock Bowers. That's assuming the Chargers don't take him at 5 or any of the other things, you know, that are out there that are possible. I think Quinyon Mitchell is number 2 on that list. I think they feel like, you know, he's a corner that fits all. If you set up the bingo card for a Chris Ballard draft pick, Quinyon Mitchell checks every box. And I think he's been my pick in my mock draft because I just feel like he's the safest way to go. If you're looking at value and you're looking at need and you're looking at Chris Ballard's history, not in terms of position because they've never taken a corner in the first round, but in terms of the type of player that he takes, Quinyon Mitchell is right there at the top of the board. So I think it's, you know, Bowers is 1, Mitchell's 1A. Worthy, in my mind, is more of a trade down possibility. I'm not sure 15 isn't a little too rich for him, but we know from things, again, that Chris Bowers has done in the past, if he feels like he's the guy, he's not going to worry about what the consensus grade is. So, you know, I think Worthy's in the mix. In my mind, he's more the trade-down option.
It's George Brimmer from the Herald Bulletin. He'll be all over the Colts draft tonight, tomorrow, and on Saturday as well. A recorded conversation here, Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. So the second scenario, you kind of answered it in a way, but I'd love for you to go in further depth on this. If you've got the top corner on your board there, and you have the fourth wide receiver, which most likely would be Worthy because you're talking Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Roman Dunze being the top three wide receivers, I think. Okay, let's start here, and then we'll go to the second scenario. Let's say one of those three wide receivers is available and the top corner's available, no Bowers on the board. What do you think, thinking of Chris Ballard, which way do you think he would lean in that scenario?
I have an inkling they would lean towards Roma Dunze if he's there. Because, again, just looking at the height, the weight, the measurables, the character, the leadership, all those boxes that we see with almost every pick they have, Roma Dunze's got it. He's also an excellent route runner, which I think is something that, at least in the past, receiver is still one of those things that I feel like is changing a little bit because last year Josh Downs was not the prototypical pick that we'd seen Ballard make the first 6 drafts he was here. So, you know, I don't know if Reggie Wayne is having a little more influence there, if Shane Steichen likes a little bit different type of receiver, but in the past, route runner running was a major element, that they wanted it with these guys. Dunze hits all those boxes. There's a few people out there that seem to think he might slip to 15. I think that's a really crazy scenario, but every year in the draft, there's one crazy scenario. I think if that happened, Ballard may sprint from Indianapolis to Detroit to put that turn that card in, if that's the case. I mean, Marvin Harrison's obviously the guy in that threesome that they would most want. Really little chance he's getting out of the top six, right? Probably not the top five. I don't know if the Colts can get there, because I don't know if anybody with a pick that high is coming down to 15. It's possible. Maybe they have another plan to go back up. Anything's possible in the draft, but that to me is a really, really tiny chance. Neighbors, there's a lot of smoke, so I could be wrong on this. He doesn't feel like a Colts pick to me. Doesn't mean they won't do it. Doesn't mean the value won't be too good if he does slide. But from my personal perspective, he doesn't feel like a guy the Colts would pick in the first round. But we'll see.
Okay, next scenario is going just stacking up. And again, you may have answered this earlier. If it's the fourth wide receiver on the board, some think it's Xavier Worthy. Other think it's the Johnson Jr. player from LSU. And it's Quinyon Mitchell. And you're sitting at 15 with those two on the board. Is the line it goes to this. It goes positional value, and then group value. Is this kind of, hey, you're taking Mitchell in this scenario because Johnson Jr., you know, the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and beyond wide receivers, way more valuable than what you have from a depth standpoint at cornerback?
Yeah, I think that to me would be the tiebreaker there. I mean, Mitchell theoretically would come in and start. I mean, yes, Jalen Jones had a great year last year for, you know, where he was picked in the draft, and it's obvious that the GM has a lot of faith in him, really believes in him moving forward. But you've seen every year they need to go deeper than three or four corners. I can't remember last season that did not happen. There wasn't some injury, some at least for a game or two, where you had to bring in somebody, you know, further down that depth chart than that top three or four guys. So I think Jones would still have a chance to compete. But if you drafted Quinyon Mitchell, you would pencil him in along with Juju Brents as the starters on the outside. Dallas Flowers and Jalen Jones then would have a chance to compete behind them, and obviously Kenny Moore would be in the slot. Whereas with Worthy or, you know, Johnson, those – it's a tougher math at wide receiver, because it really comes down to Alec Pierce and what your thoughts are of him. Can they beat him out? Can they be that number 3-2 guy, depending on how you look at Josh Downs? It's a murkier water, you know? And so I think, and again, I think Mitchell, just from a Colts standpoint, what their criteria is, what they look for, I think Mitchell's going to be higher on that board. It's guesswork, though. And, you know, did not get to walk into the draft room. Ballard jokingly invited us. We all would have gone in there very happily. I could answer this much, much easier now. But my guess from what he's done in the past is that Mitchell's higher on the board than those receivers are right now.
Okay, for those, because there has been a lot of smoke in the last 24 hours about the Colts trading up. Now, trading up to 4 to go get Marvin Harrison Jr. compared to trading up to 9. You may think that 5 picks is not a big span, but it's a huge deal, because, especially because of this particular draft, that you're saying picks 1, 2, and 3, no matter what's going to happen, are likely going to be quarterbacks. So really the draft for everybody else starts at number 4. That's why that pick is going to be very unlikely the Colts can get up there. But let's just say, you know, two teams are on the phone. From what you believe, to get up to number 4, if the Colts were to give it up, if for some reason this happens tonight, which is very unlikely, what's the price from the Colts standpoint for fans to know?
It's going to start at 2 first-round picks. I mean, that's going to be guaranteed. You're obviously giving up 15 in next year's one. I think they probably are going to have to give up the 2026 one as well, and then probably something else. I mean, it's going to be massively, massively expensive to get up there. Again, because as you said, at right now, that if you're not in the quarterback market, that's the number one pick in the draft at 4. So, you know, the Cardinals are going to have a massive market. They're going to be able to go back to teams again and say, hey, that was a really good offer, but I just heard from Houston, and they're going to give me 4 first round. You know, it's hard to say where that's going to go. It will not surprise me, though, if the cost is 3 first-rounders there, just because there's – possibility of another quarterback being in play there too. So if you're the Colts, you're not just competing with the normal idea of trying to go up that high, which is always expensive, trying to do it when it's a very coveted pick, also fighting off a team like Minnesota or Denver who might be trying to come up and get a quarterback. They're going to offer more. I mean, that position's a premium, so they're going to offer more. They can probably beat you out. It's going to be really tough to get up there. And it's also the whole idea of, I don't know how wild the Cardinals are about going down to 15. That's a pretty steep drop. So I think the price on the Colts goes up. That's why I think it'll be three first-rounders for them. That might not be the ultimate price that's paid to get that pick tonight, but I think to go to 15, it would be, because you've got to really make it worth Arizona's time to drop 11 spots there.
If you were in Chris Ballard's seat and it took three first-round picks to get up to four, maybe a little bit more, maybe a third and a fourth or whatever the case may be, and you had that on the table, and it was going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. the pick, obviously the nostalgia of the connection family-wise, but specifically the player, George, would you do it?
I don't think I would, because I would feel like I can get a really good wide receiver in this draft who's not going to be Marvin Harrison Jr., but who's going to help this football team quite a bit. And I could get a Brock Bowers. I could get a Quinyon Mitchell at a far lower cost. I think that's where the math comes in here. You've seen it from Ballard from day one, literally his opening press conference, never about one guy. And I know that's going to be his thought process now. Is it possible that they do something outrageous tonight and they make that move? Sure. And if they do, the city is going to be ecstatic. I mean, can you imagine what Friday will be like if the Pacers are coming home, as we know, with a 1-1 series with the Bucks? They're going to play at 5:30, and you've got Marvin Harrison Jr. coming in as a member of the Colts. It would be insane. One of the most, you know, crazy sports days in Indianapolis history, but I think it's more fairy tale than something that's going to happen in real life.
Okay, so the it's George Brimmer from the Herald Bulletin talking Colts. We got a couple more here, and then George has got a softball game before he goes to Colts headquarters. That's the life this time of the year. It is absolutely crazy. You mentioned the trade-up smoke, and it's more so just getting in the top 10 to get a tight end or wide receiver. What are we thinking? And the number 9 pick has been kind of the barometer here. That's not going to be three first round picks to get up to 9, would it?
No, that's part of why you don't make that move up to 4, because you can probably get to 8 or 9 and you're looking at probably next year's one still, but maybe not. There's ways around that too. If you work through some players in and, you know, you throw enough other stuff in, but probably it'll be next year's one. And that's a big difference, obviously. If you're not picking in the first round for the next 3 years versus just the next year, you know, obviously life's a little bit different there. I think 8 might be in play, too. There's been a lot of smoke around the idea that the Falcons might be willing to trade out at 8. We'll see. They're kind of like the Colts in that you hear a little bit of everything. I haven't heard them trading up, but you hear a little bit of everything that they're going to do with that 8 pick. So I think that's another spot the Colts could potentially slide in there. Those are the two spots I would look at tonight. We'll see. I mean, you never know. Draft is so unpredictable almost every year, and this year it seems like even more so. It seems like after one, you know, the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams first, and then it seems like no one's really – there's not much consensus what happens from there down. There'll be quarterbacks 2 and 3, but who they are, who makes the picks, are still in some question. You know, it's going to be a little bit crazy. But I would, my mind right now, going into it as a reporter, I'm looking at 8 and 9 as that could be the spot the Colts come up. If they don't, they're probably staying at 15.
We've talked about nearly every scenario in this conversation, George, but I want to throw out one other, because this has been a bit of a rumor, and I haven't gotten it confirmed, but I have heard this one, and I'm sure you have as well. Colts stay at 15, but trade back up in the first round to get a playmaker defensively that they like, and then get another wide receiver so they get the weapon that has been out there in the public that they want. Jim Irsay said that they want to get a weapon, and then Chris Ballard gets, you know, his cornerback or whatever the case may be. The likelihood of that scenario is...
I think that one's a decent chance, because we've seen them do things like that before. And, you know, they've been sharing that 2020 video on social media, the Colts have, where they traded back up for Jonathan Taylor. I think it would be a scenario like that, where there's two guys. Like, let's just say Quinyon Mitchell and Xavier Worthy are guys that they both like a lot. You take Mitchell at 15 because he's still there. You can try to come back in somewhere in that 20, 21 range, somewhere in that neighborhood, and also add Xavier Worthy. I can see a scenario like that playing out. It's going to, again, be less expensive than going up to four, and obviously you'll get two guys out of the deal. They could also just try to add a second-round pick somewhere in all of this and recreate that whole Pittman-Taylor dynamic. I think that's where the intrigue is right now. There's so many things they can do at that 15 pick. You know, we haven't even talked about the crazy ideas out there. Going to trade for Brandon Ayuk. I highly doubt that with the money they just gave Michael Pittman Jr. But that's how wide the range of rumors are right now. And I think that's what makes tonight really intriguing from a Colts standpoint.
It is George Bremer. He is from the Herald Bulletin. We'll be all over the Colts draft that begins tonight, the NFL draft round 1, 8 o'clock tonight, and it continues tomorrow and on Saturday as well. George, enjoy it. Thanks as always for joining us, and look forward to recapping it next week.
Well, no problem. Anytime, man.
That's George Bremer from the Herald Bulletin with us. We'll come back, talk more of that. A little bit of Pacers Bucks as well. That's next on the Power Talk of Muncie, WMUN.